When you talk to people who have been successful in life, no matter what kind of endeavor it is, many of them will talk about the people who helped them get to the position that they're at. And that's what I want to talk about today, how we can't do it alone. Hey everybody, welcome back. Today's Thursday Thoughts is my first Thursday Thoughts in a podcast-only format. And before I get into tonight's topic, I need to give a word of thanks and a shout-out to a couple of friends of mine who really pushed me into making this change or beginning this podcast. And that's Josh Simmers at the Okinawa Karate Podcast and Tuari Dawson of the Invisible Sensei Podcast. And what I really like about this is that their encouragement and their advice and their urgings ultimately tie in to tonight's topic. And what we're going to talk about today is why you need to build your karate community, what your karate community is, and how it can help you. And as I said in the intro, one of the things that we need to remember is that we can't do it alone. We need a network, a support group, if you will, of like-minded individuals, people who can provide support, advice, encouragement to you as you're going about your endeavor. And this may be, you may be an athlete competing in WKF competition, local events, you may be a regular karate practitioner, you know, whatever this, you may be a dojo owner, whatever the situation is, we need people around us to help us achieve our goals. And that's what we need to talk about. This group, you know, whatever you want to call it, a community, a council, I've heard it called a variety of different things, a brain trust, it can have a variety, the composition, its members can be a variety of different people, and they can all provide different things for you. It can be fellow karateka, fellow athletes, just some of your senior peers, you know, senseis, coaches, could be other people outside of the dojo, but people that will help encourage you, that will help propel you along your path to achieving your goal. And depending on the makeup of your community, one thing to remember is that this isn't a mutually exclusive or selfish enterprise. You are all providing support and encouragement to each other. You know, when we're talking about it in an athletic or a dojo environment, one thing that's important is that we hold each other accountable and we push each other to keep training harder. Recently, a friend of mine and I were texting back and forth, and he asked me if I'd swung my bow today. And I was still at work. I hadn't gone home yet. And so I replied in the negative that I hadn't yet swung my bow because I was still at work, but that I was when I got home. And sure enough, you know, I did. I went home and I swung my bow. I trained and I trained some kata and I did some stuff. And it wasn't just I didn't do it because he asked me. I was going to do it anyways, but I also knew that he was expecting me to train. And that held me accountable. You know, another aspect of accountability that we wanted to take into consideration is that, you know, if you're surrounding yourself with a group of like-minded individuals who are wanting to achieve the same goal as you, and in this case, let's use competition as an example. When you surround yourself by those people, it's important that you hold each other accountable, but that accountability can extend to you in that you have to hold yourself accountable because you don't want to disappoint them. If you have made plans to be at the dojo at a specific time and maybe you don't feel like it that day, I just don't really feel like training, but you know that your other training partners are going to go, or maybe you only have one or two training partners, and if you don't go, that could have a negative impact on their training, and therefore you end up going, and you probably get some pretty good training out of it. In fact, I can attest to there have been times when I haven't actually wanted to train, just whatever, I was tired or whatnot, but when I got myself up and I got training, and then I realized that I had really good training that day. And so my initial resistance was overcome, and then I was able to get good quality practice out of it. Another aspect that I want to talk about is if we can create this group, and again, I'm going to relay it to a competitive environment, but we can help propel each other along. And in fact, one way to do it is if you're surrounded by other people who are more skilled than you, then that will help drive you to improve, to keep working hard, to keep training, and to make your skills better. And on a personal example, back when I was a member of the national team, I competed in team kata. And at the time, you know, I don't know, it's hard to, you know, to judge skills sometimes, but I felt, at least my feeling was that I was the less skilled or the weaker of the three of us. And so that motivated me to train even harder, put more time in, put more effort in, because I didn't want to be the one that made a mistake and cost us to lose a tournament or to not place as high as we would have because of my ability or lack thereof at the time. And, you know, and that, whether that was true or not, I don't know. But that was the feeling that I had on the inside, was that my skills were not as developed as the other two. And so I needed to continue to train hard and to put even more effort in. Another example I want to share of this happened at, I believe it was the US Open in 2019. And we were in the staging area, and I was not competing at that time. I was helping coach some of our athletes. And I remember as we were in the staging area, and I was there watching some of our athletes compete, they ended up being kind of split up into a couple of different areas. But one of them had ended up, as other competitors came in and kind of filled in the gaps and things in the staging area, ended up being almost surrounded on all four sides by different members of current members of the U.S. national team. You know, there was the previous U.S. national champion, the current national champion, and there were about five or six other people all in that area. And as I was watching our athletes training around the U.S. national team members, it was almost as if their level was improving just by being there, just by being in that environment, surrounded by those people. It drove them to try harder, to apply harder, to apply the techniques harder, to put more effort into it. And I could see almost a physical and maybe even a little bit of a psychological change going on as they were warming up there in the staging area. As I begin to wrap up, I want to reflect on, again, what I said in the beginning, and that's that we can't do it alone. Ultimately, we will need people around us to help support us, to help encourage us, to help push us along, both technically and emotionally, and to provide that support for us. And in fact, as I said, you know, this podcast, creating this podcast, was a result of creating a karate community. And you can have multiple karate communities, multiple groups that fulfill different roles and maybe comprised of some of the same people or even different people. And, you know, I coach athletes who want to compete at the WKF level. But in another karate circle, another karate community, I have friends that are not interested in that at all, other than in an academic level. Their training is different. And that's okay. And I want to again give thanks to a couple of friends of mine that I mentioned in the beginning. You know, Josh Simmers at the Okinawa Karate Podcast and Tuari Dawson. And what makes this interesting is that, you know, Josh, I was a guest on Josh's the Okinawa Karate Podcast, and I've met Josh before. We haven't had an opportunity to train together yet, but we did meet on the last time I was in Okinawa. And but I haven't met Tuari Dawson of the Invisible Sensei Podcast in person yet. We met through our mutual work on Bujin TV, and we started talking, and we found some things that we had in common, some common interest, you know, in karate, but things we started to talk about some of his videos and some of my videos, and then we started, you know, sharing more, and we found that we got along very well. And it was their encouragement that got me to the point to make the decision to change kind of what I was doing and to put this into, you know, a podcast format. And when you're creating your karate community, you're going to run into difficulties. There sometimes, you know, it may be hard to break out of your karate dojo or your karate circle, your immediate environment. And maybe there's nobody there with a similar purpose, or maybe they aren't willing to help you. But if that's the case, then I encourage you to use all of the tools that you can. Use all of the tools that you have available to you. You know, there's Facebook groups, there's Instagram, there's technology out there that allow you to make connections with people outside of perhaps your immediate circle that you might not have otherwise had access to. And I bet you if you ask them or you reach out and you make contact, people will be willing to help. You know, I've met two of my students and people I've trained with through Instagram, through just a random message. One, somebody had put out that they were looking for a coach, and so I reached out, and we were in the same area, not too far apart, and we started training, and now that person is my student. And then I received a message here last year, and somebody was looking for some help, and they reached out to me and asked some questions, and then we started talking. And over the course of a couple of weeks, having a couple conversations, we were able to meet up and do some training. And then that person went on to win second place in the national championships here. And so, you know, use the tools that you have available to you. And ultimately, if there's no one else that will help you, shoot me a message and I'll help you out. So now, go get to work, and we'll see you out there.